the people have been attending, and each night we had to turn from the armory and building anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people away from the services. And the Lord has been opening the eyes of the blind, and the dead, and the dumb, and the lame. And it's glorious. And I got up there last week, and I was one day late. I had to be here at 10, layover. So, first of all, I got down there and said that the dean counseled me to get down here this week. I'm going to let me come down. So, we just had it out for that. So I got back. I started Saturday morning. I was supposed to be here last night. I just got in a little bit of work. And so, 18 hours layover. And I didn't get through just a few moments ago, and I hadn't slept any since the night before last. So, I'm pretty tired, and the first of being for money, the night before last, I played for almost 3,000 people just alone in one night. So, you know, about imagine how tired, but it's always good to get to see me. I tell you, there's something about this place that I really like. The other day, I had just a few moments with some of the brothers to run up on the mountain and look down up out from the place where I'm staying. And I went up there and looked down, and I thought, oh, my heavenly, how. You people are blessed with a wonderful city here, and I think it's the most central place that I know of, the most heavenly-looking place. The trouble is, we just don't appreciate it enough. But friends, this world's a wonderful place that God has given us if we can just take care of it. But we don't do that. So now, this is our fourth Sunday, isn't it? We have four more Sundays. And this was the Sunday that I gave away, if the Lord willing, to have nothing but miracles for this Sunday, if the Lord willing. Just not for the masses of people, but just to bring up those that are afflicted and crippled, that they might be healed here visibly before this audience. That's an awful thing to do. You know, that I feel that I do wrong by saying that. You know, it's not right in the first place to do it. But I just, it's not even, my gift is not miracles. My gift is to pray for the sick and the afflicted. It's healing and not miracles. I'm awfully sorry that I ever did try to perform a miracle before anyone. I am. And when the angel of the Lord spoke to me last time speaking, by the way, night before last, I seen him again in the room for the first time for about 6 months. But he never spoke to me. He was just standing by the door looking at me when I turned around. And quickly I fell on my face, but when I raised up, he was gone again. But the last time he spoke with me, he told me what I told you last week. At Bendale, Illinois, he told me I was confining too much of his work to work in miracles, and it would come to pass that people would not believe me unless there was miracles performed. And that is true. It's got that way people don't feel like they're afraid for. Last week I heard a very strange thing. By the way, many of you come to the rescue up there in Oregon. We're all Christians and we like to hear good reports, don't we? And I was up there with Reverend Gordon Lindsay, and all the churches cooperating together, everything, even to the Baptists and all. And many of the leading doctors of the state came out, and the governor. And the Lord had given me grace before the people, and it was certainly a wonderful and glorious meeting that we were having. And many, many thousands of people. I believe it's the best attendance we've had since Canada. Of course, Canada was the best meeting we've ever had among the Canadian people. And how the Lord worked among them. One meeting had near 35,000 people. In the services, we could not even hold them in a fairground. We had to take them over in the big stampede halls and things to take care of them. And the dear Lord worked with them wonderfully, and mighty miracles were performed. Being that I'm going to speak just for a few moments, I wish to take just a few more moments of time to make a mention about the miracles. A miracle, it's written in the Bible that. And I trust that many of you will understand this position that I'm trying to take this afternoon. You know the reason I've done this? And God knows that I tremble at the very thought of this afternoon service. That's right, because I look sitting here before me. Crippled, blind, afflicted, and twisted, and drawn. I need to come tell you what I'm telling you. Now, remember, the first place, this Sunday, I gave this away because I trust that God will not hold it against me. And if you notice the platform, even around me, I had them to have every to the audience. Not for anybody who would be giving your teaching or whatever to say to me. He doesn't just deal with people to show his power. He wants Satan to try to get him to show his people. You see, it was a temptation of the devil. But to give him the scriptures, but it's written that giving danger charge concerning me, they can't find the bad, putting him on the bad yet. See? But Jesus Christ did not heal all the people that come to him. He did not heal all the sick and afflicted. He just healed certain ones, the ones that he was led to heal. And that's the way the nations have been going up in army there. Now there were many of them up in the country up there. Then many great outstanding miracles. The other night they brought in the music school, they brought a child from the music school. And then all at once I never seen so many deaf and dumb people in all the ways of my ministry. Everything in the line was deaf and dumb. And I stopped, I was praying for them, and I stopped and asked once many youth. And then they had one little girl about 12 years old, and the spirit was cast from her, very pathetic looking little thing. When the spirit was cast from her, she began speaking here. The next night they brought her back, said she couldn't speak in here, a doctor came with her. So, in a nurse. So they said they heard her speak in the platform, heard that she did speak in the platform, really. Well, they got behind her and clapped her hands like that. No hearing at all. Snapped her fingers. Tried to get her to say something. She would just tap on her fingers like that to her. She wouldn't. And then they clapped her hands like that. No hearing at all. And the child spoke and heard the night before from the platform. So then they tried to get her to say something. They'd say daddy or mama or something like that. She couldn't say nothing. I remember the child. Well, then I said, well, bring her up here again. And they brought the little girl up. And then when the spirit was cast out of her, I was standing just beside her. And I she turned and jumped and looked around like that. I had to come and let him clap his hands, put his hands like that. And she turned around and she heard that. So then I got her to say, mama. And she said, mama. I say, tap feet. Like that with my tongue, how to make it. She'd say, tap feet. Now she could speak and hear there on the platform. And then I told him, I said, now, it's just like conversion. You can be a Christian tonight and a sinner tomorrow. You must believe and hold on to God and believe it with all your heart. Now I asked why was somebody deaf and dumb, and they brought a little girl there about 7 years old that was born deaf and dumb, and she was speaking here in their big deaf and dumb institutions right there in Oregon. I was right by it, and that's what it was. They bring all their deaf and dumb in because of that girl, and this one failed to keep her, and they brought her back. So I guess it was somewhat 20 or 25 cases of deaf and dumb people healed this last week. Definitely on the platform speaking and hearing. But not all of them, I didn't pick them. Just as they come through, I could feel the pressure of faith. Now, whether that's my faith reaching out, our friends, there's only one way in the world that you can be healed, and that's only faith in God. Now, no matter how much that God will permit me by my own faith to take the Spirit from you, unless you go forth and believe God and serve God and trust God, it'll come right back to you again. Did not Jesus say, go and sin no more, or the worst thing in this will come upon you? Don't ever come in a prayer line unless you expect him to serve God the rest of your days. That's right. Always, don't never live a sinful life because you'll be worse, way worse. God has promised that you will be worse off than you was at the first time. Don't never try to come, and especially this afternoon, to you who shall come in this miracle line. Don't you dare to come unless you promise God with all your heart and mean it, that you will serve him the rest of your days. Now, if Jesus told Satan there, it's written that you shouldn't tempt the Lord, or some of the writers put it different, make a showing of God's power. I remember in the Bible there was many people who passed by Jesus that he never even had no compassion on them as he did in his showing. It was where he was led to stop. Is that right? For instance, the man at the pool over by a fortune. He looked at the crowds of important people laying there. And here comes Jesus walking through And there laid one man who had been laying there for many years. He just raised that man up and told him to take his bed and go home and never even said nothing to the rest of the crowd. Is that right? One man, he took him by the hand and let him out of the crowd, come out of the city. Prayed for him. Of course, he began to see man like trees. He might have stood there an hour or two longer praying for him, for all I know. But anyhow, when he got through praying, his sight came to him. He, wherever he was led. Look at the man at the gate, beautiful, that Peter healed. And John passed into the gate. Jesus went right through that gate month after month. What is that year? What did he heal that man? He'd been laying there for 40 years. Notice. Or he didn't carry from the gate there to beg alms, I guess. That's what he's been laying up for many years. Now, notice, God only heals not to show his power. He only heals those not on the merits of your Christianity. He doesn't heal you because you're a Christian. He does, but when he does heal you, he wants you to be a Christian from that time on. But he doesn't heal because you think, well, I'll go up there, I'll be healed because I'm a Christian. No, God heals on your faith. Your faith. If you're a sinner, know nothing about God and never have been a Christian, if you have promised him that you will be a Christian and will come and you have faith enough for it to be done, it will be done, not then. But then, look, I don't even have a privilege of mine. And then you go there and that makes you nervous, look down the street, you see them mothers walking with little babies there in their arms, you see the cripples laying around there expecting to stop and pray for mercy. I'm a human, I got a heart, and I feel for people. If I let myself go, I'd be a nervous breakdown before 1 week was over. I just got to shut my eyes and look up and say, oh God, have mercy, and walk on. See? Now I'm getting to a place where it's getting some nerves. A few moments ago, my little girl, 19 months old now, mother called. And she wanted to know if I'd got the trip to her, all right? My little girl just began to talk, and she was talking, my daddy? And she said, I love you. Come home, daddy. And I got and the sucker was in the phone. She started screaming, won't get back to the phone. Now, that would have killed me. Of course it does. And I've just only seen her 5 times since she was gone. Now, those fathers with their little children, that makes me feel, oh, I just dread seeing that poor little sickle and afflicted thing. But the only thing that I can do is to be honest with the people. And that is this. When you come into line, that is after today, when you come through the lines of prayer line, when you make a covenant with this with me with God, if God will perform these miracles here for you today, whatever is driving the platform, that God will heal him. And God knows that, oh, may the Lord grant that I'm not trying to make a show of his power. No, I'm not doing that. But that you might be encouraged. I've always loved being in Arizona. I love you yet. The crowd has never been right to me. They never have had the crowd here. They have it other places. Why, I don't know. But I've always loved being. And I want to live here someday. And there's a great something here that draws me here. It looks like it's needed more here. And I've set this day aside for America. And may God, who listens to me now, if he'll just grant this to me today, that everybody brought here before he and I this day, if you'll let it get well, surely you'll believe from that on. You'll pass through the prayer line and believe that God truly has sent his gift of healing. Won't you believe that? You won't have to have one more miracle performed in the rest of the meeting. You'll believe if you're prayed for. And remember, that the Bible will be formed. There is a truth that this power is given only for healing. I pray for the people. They go away, and if they believe, they get well. If that feel, that stance, that prayer is said for that person, and if they believe it, the angels of God will watch over that person. They have to get well. Maybe not that hour, maybe not that week, maybe not that month. It may be 6 weeks before they're well. But they'll get well. They've got to get well. And friends, the lowest count that I ever had of any of my meetings counting back prayer cards was 70% of what was prayed for. The highest percent was in Winnipeg, Canada. 98% of what was prayed for was healed. 98% that has been about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, and they are healed now. They've sent their testimony in that they are well. At the Vancouver meeting, my secretary called me while I was in Portland, or at Ashland, and he said, Brother Branham, I believe it's going to be 100% from the way the testimonies are coming in and the prayer cards that we put out. 100%. I hope it does. Well, if God can heal those people on their faith in Canada, God loves Americans the same as he loves Canadians. Is that right? He's no respecter of persons, and he will heal you if you just believe it. But he cannot heal you without your faith. You've got to believe that he will heal you. Now, think now, it's 3 minutes after two. We have 2 minutes after three by this time here. Now, we want to get out by 5 o'clock, and I want to speak just a little bit about our lesson, and then we'll start the prayer line, or the deep faith line. Now, will everyone listen close to this? Closely? Friends, believe, and may God who listens at me remember that I am not bringing this afternoon to you as a showing. And if I am wrong, may God have mercy upon me. I don't want to do anything wrong. But he told me by that angel that nothing shall stand before your prayer if you be sincere and get the people to believe. And I have not yet seen one thing, regardless of what it was, when enough time was taken to that person in faith of it for what Almighty God healed him while he was yet coming. You understand, everybody? And that is the truth. This once more, I shall try. Make the ending of this at peace. That's right. The place where I intend to live someday. And God to heal the people this day. And if he will grant that to me, and let these, whatever comes up, deaf, dumb, crippled, blind, insanity, whatever it is, be delivered right here before the people's eyes. Then the rest of the time, I'll let him do the lead if he'll just hear me and answer my prayer. Will you pray for me? As God will help me, I realize that the voice is in his kingdom. It's a great strength. Friend, I can see the truth of what I've always done, I've always come again. And I thank God for that coming to pass now. Great revivals are speaking out across the country. The people are one heart and one mind, and they're just sending one to one another church. Let the people go to wherever church they wish to go to. Let them have their own preference. And whatever a person believes, go ahead and believe that, but don't criticize the other man. Let's stay together and serve God. Oh, I trust that God will let me do that. And if you'll show me favor this afternoon and heal these people before you, then you listen to my words, then. Don't hold nothing against anybody or anybody's church. Let's go together as one like brothers and sisters, and then the sinner on the outside will know that we really love Jesus. That's right. See? Jesus said this, "This will all men know that you are my disciples because you have..." Shake one of your hands. "Because you belong to this church, because you have loved one for the other." Is that right? The love one for another, then you'll know, all men will know that you're my disciple. And if we do not have love one for another, then we cannot be his disciples. And that's upholding the sinner's back, that's upholding the coming of Jesus. Believe that God will permit me this afternoon, this lovely little city, to prove his power and authority. If he does, then if you don't receive him and listen to my words, I've done all I can do. That's right. And I thought I'd wait for the last meeting for this, but I see now if I do this, I'll have more time to make talks on us people coming together. Remember, friends, if you're black, white, yellow, red, American, Canadian, Russian, Spanish, Mexico, wherever you're from, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Every one of us. God don't love one any more than he does the other. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love you any more than he loves me. So there we are. We're all one together in Christ Jesus. And let's live like that. Let's live that every day before the world, and they'll see. That's the way you'll lift Jesus up to the world. Let others see him in you. You're a written epistle, read of all men. Will you grant that to me? And if God will grant the rest of it to me, I believe it'll be the breaking forth this very day of an old-fashioned revival through Phoenix. Well, would you like to see every church in a great big revival in Phoenix? Souls being born into the kingdom. Let's bow our head just for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, this day, standing here tired before this group of people and weary and My limbs aching and hurting, pushing and pulling. Oh Christ, someday let thy servant depart in peace so we can cross over the river. I trust that you'll give me rest at the other side. Father, you know how I feel today and how I would love to even be home for Thanksgiving to get to sit down with the wife and family. But, oh God, that cry full of importance to them, Oregon State above. And these dear people here, teams from different nations, different people, coming together to be healed. And Father, someday may we have Thanksgiving together when you're crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That great Thanksgiving day when all the saints shall rally together, God help us to work for that day. Father, you're on earth, and may you give us divine strength. And Father, as we open up your word now for a few moments, may the Holy Spirit come down and take the things of God and take them right out into this lovely bunch of people and sow the seed of love and fellowship in this congregation of people until every church will be blessed and the people will start a revival, Lord, among themselves and bring in many lost souls in these next three meetings coming up. Grant it, Father. We'll give you the praise while we ask it in his name. Now the next three services, the Lord willing, we're going to have an altar call and have some people, sinners, so bring in your sinner friends and expect God to be with us here and to save and to heal the people of all their diseases. Last Sunday, in the scripture lesson, we was in Numbers, the 21st chapter, speaking of a brazen serpent. Sunday before that, we had the smiting of the rock. Last Sunday, we brought up the word that God had dealt with his people in such a way that he had brought them out of Egypt and had provided a way for them all the way along. And we seen last Sunday how that all that church was a type or a shadow of the church that we have today. The calling out, bringing out of darkness into the marvelous light, led by signs and wonders of God, bringing them from Egypt, going up into the promised land. And it's a very perfect type of the church today, being led out of darkness into the light of Christ. And how we brought the people, see how they were down there among those Egyptians. They become like heathens. God brought them out and gave them laws and wonders. They walked with God, and God kept sickness away from them. He gave them food to eat. There is a way for every sinner in here, this thing. And here it is. There is a fountain full of blood drawn clean when sinners plunge beneath the blood, lose all their guilty stains. When you're carried to follow the church of God on through this wilderness journey into the promised land. And our promised land is found in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. It wasn't so, I would have told you. I will prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself. Isn't that marvelous? When I think of his love and compassion, I will come and I will receive you into myself, the love that he has. Sometimes I feel like the runaway slave. When Paul found him, he wrote back to his master and he said, don't put all that he owes you, put it up on my bill, and I'll pay you when I come. When I think of that, I think of Paul, that great Christian, how that his heart knew that there's a great charge against him, and Christ, with his own blood, wrote his pardon at the cross and took his place, and he knew how to feel for other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had that feeling this afternoon? Just take their fault and lay it up on me. Let me. If we bear one another's burdens like that. Now, that's the way God went on. They came to a place they began to murmur against God and against Moses, and God had to have Moses to smite the rock. And we talked about he smote it with the judgment stick, which we realized that that was the judgment. God's judgment stick. It was one brought fleas and lice and turned the waters into frogs come up out of the waters and so forth down in Egypt, because it was God's judgment upon an unbelieving people. And notice, the only way that God could lead them people out was by an atonement. And the only way that God can lead us out today is by an atonement. And the atonement's already made at Calvary. Notice you're going down in there how perfect it was with the scripture. How Joseph, the younger son, rejected of his brethren. Christ rejected of his brethren. He wore a coat of seven colors, Joseph. And the seven colors, of course, represent the seven colors in the rainbow, which was a covenant. And God always has his covenant people. And then this one, young Joseph, was killed, supposedly by his brethren, and his coat was to be returned to his father. And I want you to see another thing, that he was thrown into a ditch and was supposedly to be dead. But he was taken up from the ditch and was taken into the greatest commercial city of the world and was made a right-hand man, that no man could enter into the gate or come into the court without first coming through Joseph, a perfect type of Christ. They thought they had killed him and threw him into the grave, but God raised him up. And today he sits at the right hand of his majesty, and no man can come to God except he comes through Christ. Is that right? Notice in the butcher and the baker, one was refused and one rejected, like the two thieves at the cross. A perfect type. And then at the death of Joseph, he left a sign to the Egyptians that his bones would be taken out when they went out. Many of the Egyptians passing by, or the Israelites, rather, down in Egypt and see those bones. They knew someday, before those bones completely deteriorated, that they would move forward and they would move with them. Christ never left even his bones, but he left an empty tomb that we who are Christians today. Someone said, Brother Branham, the only thing that you've got to know that you're a Christian is some Hebrew writing. I said, I got more than that to know that I'm a Christian. Sure I have. You have too, if you've been born again. Notice, but we have an empty tomb. Mohammedan religion is the greatest there is in the world today, the more Mohammedans than anything. But they keep a white horse setting up the grave of Mohammed. Said there for 2,000 years, a white horse has constantly been led there for Mohammed to resurrect and ride away. We go down the Ganges River today, we find mothers there that they sacrifice their little children and throw them into alligators. And let the alligators crunch the little dark fellows and their blood spill up over their mouth, sacrificing to the God of the Nile. Now somebody says, because I'm sincere, that's all that makes any difference. It takes more than sincerity. They're sincere too. Over in India today, and under the Buddha worship, people like Brother Gaddis and Moser Van, he said, Brother Van, I have seen. No, I guess all of you know Gaddis is internationally known everywhere, Methodist Church. He said, I've seen them stand with their fingernails and go through their hands with, say, oh, great Buddha. If you don't give me rest for my soul, I'll never take my hand down. Leave it like that. Many of them who hasn't laid down for years, and they stand sleeping upside the wall, praying. The Chinese, they break their feet. They have 400 and something kitchen gods alone. And something there like that, heathen worship, crying for peace to your soul. And you Americans can have it right now and reject it. While them heathens arise in the day of judgment and condemn life, these who are idols of worship, all are dead and gone. But close again, the empty tomb. You say, oh, well, we could have emptied the tomb. He made it better than that. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will abide with you forever. And he's here today, in the building right now, ready to fill any heart that empty out the world. Christ will come in the form of the Holy Ghost, and you'll be saved and have peace. Right. Oh, my. No wonder it thrills our heart, this great church, by leading it out. Then when they come to the place where they come to Kadesh, and Kadesh then was the judgment seat, as we went through that last Sunday, And then after the church come to Martin Luther, there's the third stage of the journey. Martin Luther was the first stage of the journey, calling out of darkness. John Wesley was the second stage. Then there comes a Pentecost. And Pentecost brought the judgment. And the people went after the gift and did it. That's right. I believe God wants me to say that. Friends, when you miss the love of God in your heart, you miss everything, no matter what you've done. Where there's tongues, they shall cease, where there's prophecy, they shall vanish. But where there is charity, it lasts forever. I'd rather my wife would love me than be afraid of me, wouldn't you? Sure, you love God. The love of God in your heart. Now notice, then when they met the judgment, and they all turned back, immediately sickness broke out into the camp, and fiery serpents came in, and God sent down the gift of healing for the children of Israel, a brazen serpent. Maybe he couldn't find a man that he could trust to put it on, so he put it on a serpent, piece of brass, and a pole. And the very same thing, only another form. After you begin to babble up and break up and get into hundreds of different churches and organizations and denominations and fussing among one another, sickness. There's more sickness in the land today than it's ever been known of. That great plague of cancer sweeping the nations, and Christians are dying by the thousands with it. And then to think of that very hour that the angel of God came down and even specified cancer. Going to a hospital after a bit. A child here that's going to die, they say the 14 doctors give her up of cancer. Oh, may God meet me there. There'll be a witness to Phoenix. That angel said he never specified nothing about cancer. He said nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer. But do you think all the Hebrews believe that brazen serpent? Certainly not. And there's thousands of Gentiles and people today, when you speak to them about the gift of divine healing, they say it's fanaticism. How do you expect to ever be healed? It's not for you in the first place. It's for believers, those who will believe. Now, then as we left them last Sunday, we're journeying on now into the 22nd chapter. And I'm not going to have time to read it, but I may read a verse or two here. And listen close now. And the children of Israel set forward and fixed in the flame of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. Notice, they had journeyed on. And as they went on, of course, Aaron died during that time. And as they went moving on, Moses, moving on with the children of Israel, they wanted to go by to pass the land. The king told them, no, you can't go through here. But then he come and fought against them and taken some of their people. Then God told him, told Israel, or Israel vowed to God, if he had delivered the king into his hands, that he'd utterly destroy the land. And that's a type today. If God will give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, utterly destroy sin out of your life. Move on. Nothing can stop the church. They may call you fanatic, they may call you sissy to pack a Bible, they may say that you're a holy roller or whatever they do. Nothing's going to stand in God's church. He's moving towards Canaan. If you don't go, God will take them, it will go. That's right. He's that church, there's nothing. It's an irresistible force. That's right, and God will move everything. Well, a few years ago they said he's going to throw you out, he's going to set you back, he's going to shut your mouth, but the church is moving on. That's right. And the church will move on. There's nothing. It's coming time where you're getting big enough, you ought to be able to talk and speak. Now, she moved on. And finally, they came down to the land of Moab there, and the king, Balak, he's a Balak letter, he thought that he would be wiped out. And he said, oh, this great company here that like, will lick us up like the ox licks the grass up off the field. He sent over to a preacher, a prophet, by the name of Balaam. He said, come down and curse this people, Israel, for me. For I understand that whoever you curse is cursed, and whoever you bless, they're blessed. Now I want you to notice it. Here it is.
The people knew that there was a power in that prophet, so if he cursed anything, it was cursed. And if he blessed anything, it was blessed. You Bible readers who read the Bible, is that true according to Scripture? Now, if we just had time to read it like that, we should, but I cannot stop opening my mouth. Is that right? I cannot say no prophet, no man, no healer, nobody. You ask too much of the prophet. Certainly you do. There was many people come to Elisha to get cured of their leprosy. The Bible said there was many lepers in the days of Elisha, but only one of them was cured, and that was Naaman. Is that true? Certainly, how many more you think came? There's probably hundreds of lepers came, because there's many of them in the days of Elisha, but only one of them. But God recorded that in the Bible. Well, look, today I've got on record, many months ago, of 35,000 cases. Doctor's statements of definite healing. Better! I guess you think I'm excited, but I'm not. I'm not excited. I know where I'm standing. But look, Jesus said, these things that I've done, greater will you do. Or I'll go unto my Father. Somebody has to fulfill that word. That's right. God's able these stones to rise, children of Abraham. And notice, now it's a great healing now, and this is the last day. If I didn't realize these things, I'd be afraid about saying that miracle line. I can only perform as God says perform. I can only speak when God says speak. I can only heal when God says heal. I can only tell you the vibrations is gone when God stops the vibrations. I can't stop them. I'm no healer. He's a healer. But when I see them stop, they're not stopped by me. They're stopped by God. And if I tell you that, if you doubt it, then you're going to be sick again. If you believe it, you're going to get well. That's right. Nothing can keep it from getting well. I cannot make a deaf man hear. I cannot make a dumb speak. I cannot make these plugs that's in the people's ears go out. That God does that. And if he'll do it on the platform, go away rejoicing. And serving lesser, greater things. Balaam said, I cannot do it unless God would send me. Well, then he prayed to God. That night, the Spirit came and talked to him. And he said, don't you go. That looked like it ought to be enough, don't it? I'm preaching almost conviction to myself right here this afternoon. He's already told me you're confining too much of that gift of healing on miracles. And I want this to be the climax. And notice, then he said, I can only speak as God speaks. No prophet can say anything unless God puts it in his mouth. If he's a prophet, if he's a false prophet, if he's a hireling, why, he'd say anything. But if you say anything and God has to bring it to pass, if God said it, it'll be that way. Notice, then when he said that, he said he could only speak what God put in his mouth, and God told him to send it back. And he noticed, then Balaam, like a lot of hiring prophets now, for usury, for money, he's come back again and asked him the second time, and he went to God again. Now look, there is a perfect will of God, and there's a permissive will of God. And God permitted his prophets to go on, yet he wasn't his perfect will. It was his permissive will. And I feel this afternoon is the same thing on this, working for this miracle line. It is God's maybe permissive will, but it's not his perfect will. You are supposed to take my word, and if look, friend, it's hard to say that. It's hard for people to see that. But I don't, there ought to be somebody, God grant someday, that I can have somebody, or you'll send me somebody who will do this talking for me, and I won't have to do that, because it looks like you're throwing something to yourself. God in heaven knows that I wouldn't stand here that much hypocrite before his people. That's right. But it is the truth. I shall be judged for it at the day of judgment. He did say it. And notice, now it might not be his perfect will, but I believe it is his permissive will. So I've asked him that for the sake of the Phoenix here today, that you might see that I have told you that what is true. And the angel of God who met me that night in the room, I pray that he'll stand here to withstand anything that's brought up here this afternoon. Now, as I say, I'm not supposed to do that because I'm just saying bring somebody up. Now, if you let me walk out through the crowd, I've already picked out at least four people sitting right back out here in front of me right now that could be healed right here by a miracle. Right now. Well, I feel them. One of them's an aged man, gray-headed. The other's a young lady. Another a little girl. They're sitting right before me now that can be healed by a miracle right here. But if I should go out there and pick you out, then you'd want to find fault with me. You see? This gift, I don't believe, was given for holding mass meetings like this. I don't believe it was. I believe that I should be led of Almighty God to go wherever He'd lead me, to place, like that. And then pray for the people and so forth, as He would lead me. I don't know, but whatever, I'm trying to get these things settled down where I can find His perfect divine will, His channel to walk in and stay there, regardless of what anyone says about it. That's right. Now, He told Balaam to go on down there. But of course, we know on the road the angel of the Lord met him. And he was so blind, so money crazy, so he couldn't find even see the angel standing before him. And then the mule that he was riding on turned aside out into the field. The mule! Oh my! The mule had more spiritual discernment than the man did. And he got his mind all but God. Someone was speaking the other night, and I was telling my... put the stomach back in the people's way. I said, "What is true is true." Christians have seen that. It would have been different seeing this thing. I said, "Yes, but sometimes the Christians are so blind they can't see that." It was in the days of the coming of Jesus. Those astrologers went right on up there and worshipped Him, the three wise men. And the priest was in the temple debating whether this was right or that was right. That's the truth. And a little witch, remember, I say it's the work of the devil. All spiritual astronomy is the work of the devil. And I realize I'm heading right now down in Mexico where black magic and everything else is there, but I know who I have believed. I know God will take care of it and bring the thing to showdown, like it did in Oregon the other night. That's right. It's true. But to get the people set still long enough to see it is the thing. Now, then these things that he spoke, and he didn't see the angel, and then turned aside. Then the angel went to stand in another place, watching the three places, representing the three stages of the journey. The three stages of the journey then, the three stages of the journey in the children of Israel, three stages of Balaam's journey. We're in our third and last stage. And remember, the Pentecostal age is a rejected age. I hate to say that, or I've never found faith in any church like the Pentecostal church. But it's rejected because it's the Laodicean last church age lukewarm. It'll be spewed from the mouth of Christ. But God in there will draw out His people. Out of that Pentecostal age. You say, "Well, I'm looking for a great age." I know many of you people, there's a teaching in the schools of the prophets. And they say that all the great church age is coming. Don't believe it! The next thing to come is Christ for His church. That's right. So remember, the last church age is the Laodicean church age, a lukewarm that's spewed from God's mouth. True. And you know that. Or I say, "Brother Bram, you're just one alone." Well, how about a whole council? That's where the Catholic Church started, with the council of man. God don't move in councils of man. He deals with individuals. Look at all that bunch of prophets up there telling they had to go on up in peace and said, "Isn't there one more?" Jehoshaphat said, "Yeah, little old Micah." But Micah knew where he was standing. He knew his God. And I know many will reject this that I'm saying now. But remember, I believe with all my heart I know God. And I believe the age is that we're holding so much to this church and that church, and God's not pleased with us. We've got to come out of that. We've got to get together, our hearts together. That's right. And notice now, and as it comes down there, and this mule seen standing in the first place, he's seen there at the gate, next place in a straight, and the next way he's seen standing in a real narrow way, and finally the mule spoke out with human voice. "Look, a dumb mule, a dumb brute. If God, an angel of God, could speak to a dumb brute, couldn't he speak to a man?" But people are too blind to see him. He said, "Thee, if God's able, these tongues to rise, children of Abraham." Oh, my. Then Balaam went out to put a curse upon the children of Israel. We have to hurry. Oh, my. I just love this sermon. Where you just get plenty of elbow room. "Look, he who journeyed on, as the mule even spoke to him. And the angel of the Lord was standing in the way." Now, God is not pleased with the way people are doing. of people in this lukewarm condition. Either be hot or cold. Get in or get out. God hastens the day when Christians will be what they profess to be, and sinners the same thing. Oh, if I wasn't for Christ, I'd be against him. I'd be sitting there talking against him. I'd say I got no use for him. There's nothing to him. I'd be against him if I wasn't for him. But friend, I truly believe he's the Son of God, like the Bible says he is. I believe he ascended on high, like the Bible said he did. I believe he's coming again, like the Bible says so. And I believe that he gave gifts back to man. Therefore, today I'm claiming it because I believe it. If you see me living anything else, you let me know, because I'm backslid. If I do anything different and live a life of that, I'd be afraid to walk before those demons and powers. I know it's hard. It cuts me down. Now, I hate to say these things to people, but friends, I have to stand for judgment someday to answer before you people. That's right. Your blood will be upon my hands. You serve God with reverence in your heart. Pure, holy love for him. Walk every day in that mood of love all the time. Do good to others and do good charitable deeds and love God and worship him. And that's the way you're supposed to live, and treat your neighbor as yourself. Now, notice this now. Then when he got down there, he thought, surely, here's another mistake. I'll get this part in just before it closed. You'll give me your undivided attention right here till we meet the climax. Oh, my, I feel that he's here. I do. I thank him. Look, when he went down there, Balaam went out with this idea. Now, I've been bawling you out. You holding this people, full gospel people, Nazarenes, Pentecostal and Church of God, and Assemblies of God, and all the rest of you. And to you Methodists, and to you Baptists, and all you that love God. Notice this. The look. When Balaam, now to bring it back to the church, it's moving on. When Balaam went down there, he looked upon that people. Israel had done everything that was on the calendar, nearly in the way of sleep. They had backslid on God. They'd been up. The little church factors that broke up man's homes and run this way and that way and done everything that was doing that right. But don't judge all of them by that one. See? We've all had it. That's true. But they say, oh, that Holy Ghost church. All them shouters going, look, I see no wonder pastors have done this. Yes, and brothers, there hadn't been a little money behind it. There's been a whole lot more said about these others, too. But when he got a lot of money to smother it down, these fellows have to take the rub, that's all. But remember, we have good and bad and both. And Balaam looked up on that people and he thought, look here. Now listen, he thought surely that a holy, moral God would have to curse a people like that, have done such things as that. But we're looking up on him. He looked and he said, now look here, they've done this, they've done that. Surely there's not a holy God in heaven to look upon that and absolutely have any blessing but that church. Because look at him. They have done this and they've done that. He looked at it from the eye standpoint, from the moral standpoint, trying to judge the people by a moral God, holy God. But he failed to see the smitten rock before him and the brazen serpent, that atonement that forgave their sins. And so is it today when the people laugh and say, them divine healers, them holy rulers, they've done this and that. I'll admit it. But they failed to see the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, moving on before the church. That's right. It atones. There's a sin atonement made for the church. And people, you who know God, move on. God is for you. No matter how much they try to put a curse on it, it can't be done. The blood of Christ separates that. God did not look upon any people as their own moral standards. The only thing he looks at is the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And any person that's under that blood is safely protected. Amen. Oh, my. Under the blood. I don't care how much you holler, scream, stay there until morning break. That's right. They were under the blood of the Lamb, the smitten rock, the brazen serpent. Look, they were under the blood of the Lamb, as we talked last week. The blood was placed upon the door, the lintel of the door. They went out under the blood. And they got out there and got hungry. God fed them manna out of heaven. He got thirsty. He gave them water from the rock. They got sick, he gave them power for healing. And Balaam failed to see that. He thought because they were so radical in this way and that way that God did not have any honor for them. He didn't have honor for them, but he did for his atonement. Oh, my! God
today, no matter what the church has done, the atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ penetrates.
Amen. My, my. We'll get to shouting that directly, sure enough, won't we? Well, think of it, the blood, under the blood, it all looks sons and daughters to Him as long as they're confessed under the blood. So if you've done wrong, get under the blood today and confess your sin. Well, if we fall from grace, we have an advocate through the power of your Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if it wasn't that advocate, we'd all be gone, wouldn't we? But in there, we're brought under the rich royal blood of the Son of God, and before God, we are pure and holy. Hallelujah! I guess it's not against the law to say it in Phoenix. Hallelujah, I mean praise our God. And I think He's worthy of ever praise, and hallelujah, we can ring from His mortal lips. The Bible said you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, offering spiritual sacrifices to God, the fruits of your lips giving praise unto Him. Oh my, the fruits of your lips, pour your praise daily before the people. What a high priest we have. What a priesthood that we're in. The priesthood of the circumcision, not of flesh, but of the heart. Amen. The heart circumcised by the Holy Ghost. That's right. And then you can offer praise and adoration to God, the spiritual sacrifice, your lips pouring out praise and things. The other night when the people were standing there, poor little blind baby laying in a mother's arms. His little eyes were blind, but after being prayed for, holding a little baby in my own arms like that and looking at it, I was looking at it, I said, Mother, it sees the light. She looked at it and she put her hands before the daddy's little eyes. I took my hand and followed my hands around like that. Wow, the people just rose. Those rafters rang with the praises. Somebody stood there and said, they make a lot of noise. I said, if they'd hold their peace, I'll be the rafters would praise God. Something's got to take place. Amen. Oh, my. No other poet could sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed in it. Oh, my. After we've been there 10,000 years, that's why we have no less time to sing His praise in the hour we first begun. How wonderful. No wonder Eddie Stewart could scream out in his dying hours and throw his hands across the cross and scream, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. My old blind Fanny Crosby had never seen in her life. She screamed, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others are calling, do not pass me by. What can you offer me, Lord? What can you offer blind Fanny Crosby, who was blind all of her life? She has now the scream of all. Does she love me? More than life to me. Face to face. Look upon Him. Say, eternal, the author of help me this afternoon, Father, and may this not be to bring thy power down to make a show of it. But, oh, God, may everything that fell on this pulpit this afternoon be healed of thy divine power, that the people of Israel, spiritually speaking, might rejoice in the power of their salvation, and may them who are unbelievers be brought to shame. Grant it, dear God, and they'll humbly bow at the foot of the cross on next Sunday and this week sometime and say, Lord, I've been wrong. I've persecuted the people who believe in divine healing. I've said they were holy rollers. I've called them everything, but I failed to see the blood and power of Christ going before them. Oh, Christ, encourage your people. Oh, Jacob, how godly is thy tent set. Oh, no matter what side they look from, it's godly. There's joy. There's freedom of sin. There's power of healing. There's everything in the tent. Oh, God, may blind Balaam see it this afternoon and glorify the God of heaven while we ask it in His name and for His glory. Amen. Just one moment. I won't ask another word to come forth now. Everyone just remain in your seat. We're going to have one of the brothers to step out here at the pulpit. I remember, dear friends, God's power is not to be made a show. And if Jehovah God, my Savior Jesus Christ, will hear my prayer this afternoon,
and will heal these people that brought here in the way of miracles, then, if you don't receive Christ then Phoenix, I've done all I can do. I've done all I can do. I've tried to tell it to you, I've tried to speak it to you, I've tried to show it to you by the Word, and then if God will manifest Himself in the power, that's the only thing I know to do. Then I trust that God will do that when we make an old-fashioned altar call here. The sinners will weep their way through, and Christians will go back, shake one another's hands, and there will be a revival sweep here. I hear the Pilgrim Revival started now. The brother James Outlaw, I believe, is starting a revival, and some more of the brothers near the city. I trust that there will be a revival started in every church, everywhere, and people will come to Christ. Oh, my. Do you believe we're in the stage of the journey now? Do you do it? Raise your hand. Now, I want to ask you this one little thing. Brother Hooper, you get ready to come out in the platform just a moment. I wonder this. If any in here today, if you don't believe this with all your heart now, friends, if you do not believe it, later, last week we had some things to happen in our meeting, and all that lovely meeting, but there were two ushers standing right beside him when an epileptic spell was cast out, and down went the two ushers, one on one side, another one plunged forward, another one run back like this. A few hours later, they tried to get a woman in, couldn't do it, fine woman, business woman there in the city, had a store where they sold women's clothing and things, a very fine woman. And about 2 days later, they had her out there in front of the hotel room, frothing like a mad dog. See, it could not, it was the powers of hell was liberated, and the demons will go from one to another. Now, let me report that again. Listen. Remember, this is casting out Satan. With my Bible over my husband, it's casting out powers that bound those people. And when that power is cast out, that demon will go somewhere if he can get somewhere. And you remember when Jesus cast out legions, demons, they said, suffer us and go over in this herd of swine. Is that right? And he given permission to go. And they went over there, and those hogs, thousands of them, run down the river and drowned it in the river. Is that right? And now remember, dear friends, with all my heart, take this as a warning. If you have one skeptic thought, please do not stay in the building now. Because you'll probably be insanity, blind, deaf, everything brought here now. And you must be perfectly quiet. And if you feel that you can't keep your head down, then don't stay in here. I will try to get bent about every 15 minutes if the Lord shall perform some miracle for you. Now, I don't say that there will be but one. There may not be but one. I may not even get through that one. I can't say. Let me make myself perfectly clear. Back and forth, check and double check on it so you'll know. Remember, I have said this is the gift of healing. Everybody bear your record if you say amen. The angel has never told me to perform one miracle. Everybody hear that? Say amen. He told me if I would pray for the people, that they'd get well, if I could get them to believe. You remember that? Say amen. But through faith in Him who is invisible here this afternoon, I have been permitted by Almighty God to open the eyes of the total blind, to unstop the ears of those who were born deaf and dumb. It says, speaking here, the cripples that were hideously drawn and twisted unfold right before the people's eyes and walk away by the power of Him who is invisible. But remember, it is none of my own power. It is His power. I have no way at all to perform any miracles. I am just a man like you, your husband, your brother. I'm a man. But He is God. And this angel is divine, that's sent from the throne of God. See what I mean? It's my angel in God's Word. That miracle is here. Is that right? Now, how many will believe with me? Let's hear, my brother. I've got you saved. Thank you. Now, slowly, let's give him a little chance to rest. Everyone stands reverently now while we sing, Only Believe Now. Everyone, well, that's the song that the angel of God likes. Now, everyone, let's get quiet and be just as lovely. You love Jesus, say amen. I've got to get myself perfectly quiet. And now, while we sing, now everybody slowly now in the corner. Only believe. All the things I've
Oh, God. How humble I feel standing here. I brought this father to this part of the service, telling the people that these things will take place. Oh, God, I preach it as well right today on a higher and prophet Balaam. And I know that you said, dear Jesus, to the devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan said, yes, but it's written in the scripture. Yes, Father, and Satan would like to tempt today. Dear God, all things is in your hands. And I pray to you from my heart, today here to this microphone, as usually into the room by myself. But Father, thou knowest my heart. And I believe that your ministry that has been so neglected, your people have been cast down by the hurt. The hour has come that you're going to take your church. Help me, dear Father. Will you honor the words of thy servant today, though so poorly and unworthy to be honored? Last spoke to that angel that met in the room that night, said nothing shall stand before your prayer. But dear God, if that's not your divine will, please stop it. But Father, thou knowest all things. Not these people might hear me, but if I was your man, I want to see a revival in this city. Oh God, there's something pushing my heart ever since I know that it was going to see me. Help, dear God. And may it well an old-fashioned revival. Someday may I sort of live here in this lovely little city. Now bless us together. Anoint me, Lord. Please, let your angel. And thou knowest, Father, that I'll give all praise and glory to thee. Thou knowest that I'll pull all newspapers and magazines. Thou no healer. Thou art the healer. Willing to be humble, Father, from nothing but death. To give you the praise. Yes, let permit me, Father, to help these poor, sick, suffering, blind, crippled people. Will you, Father? And then next week, we'll just, Father, do according to what you say. Permit this today. And do not hold it against thy servant or against the people. I pray thee, Father, to give divine power now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I would pressure some of those babies with fresh old things. This must be perfectly quiet, friends. Please, mothers, don't let your little children stir around. And if the little babies are crying, haven't you got a place here, ushers? How many ushers in the building? Let's see your hands. Ushers, are you at the first of duty? All right. Watch and help the mother. And don't permit no one running on the floor. Because this is a very, very sacred time.
I get out here until he's back here.
I want you to look at my name today, man. I want you to look at the name. See how hard it is. You just look how big it is. You need to be proud. You ready for this? I'm ready for the line. You're ready.
Now, if that's the truth, the life of God,
Amen.